speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
But we're thankful that we're able to come your way with some thoughts regarding our country and the greatness that's ours. We need to reflect upon the freedom that we have in this country and the freedom that we have been granted because of the high price that was paid by so many people. From Psalms 33, verse 12, I read in God's Word, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." But as we look to the 33rd Psalm, I believe we can see some things that can help us to transfer this need for trust in God and dependence upon God, transfer that to our hearts and to our lives. In verse 18 of Psalm 33, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." And then I read through the end of the chapter, "to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our God, our help, our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." I believe verse 18, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. The word fear in the Bible means to tremble. It's used in connection with three experiences. The word fear, tremble, is used in reference to the thought of being punished by a holy God for our sins. And then another way, to tremble at the sight of the mighty acts of God. Then a third way, to tremble with joy at the knowledge that people are being saved from their sins. Our nation desperately needs more respect and more reverence for God. Proverbs 15, verse 16 says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in trouble." Today in our American culture, we've crossed the line from disrespect to outright blasphemy of the name of God. God's holiness is mocked. It's open season on the character of God. Movies and plays and songs depicting Jesus as a homosexual is outright blasphemy. And even some churches are filled with a lack of reverence. Is there no place that is sacred? Well, who is God in the view of most people today? He's the man upstairs. Or the big guy in the sky. That's irreverence. The Bible says he's the Holy One, El Shaddai, the Almighty One. In the New Testament, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe, the everlasting Father. He's the Rock of Ages. And Jude, that little one-chapter book in the New Testament, indicate reverence for God. He closed that one chapter by saying, "To the only God and Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." And I learned something interesting recently, and that was that Native Americans did not swear oaths or take the name of God in vain until Europeans introduced that to them. They didn't have in their vocabulary, in their language, oaths and swearing. But they learned that from the French and the English, who taught them how to curse in God's name. The Hebrews would not even pronounce the name of their God. And even before writing his name, the scribes would say a prayer before penning their copy of the Word of God as they were copying it. But in our society, in our culture, it's common for folks to drag God's name through the mud. And how sadly we hear people swearing and using euphemisms that are simply a replacement for the name of God. And then we hear, "Oh my God," expressed by pagans and sometimes by Christians too. Is nothing sacred anymore? Again, the words of Psalms 33, verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth." And God looks, God sees, God hears, God understands, and he knows what's going on. Well, verse 21 of Psalms 33, we see another thought that will help us to transfer dependence upon God to a reality in our heart. Here he says, "For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." America needs to remember Hezekiah's position and Hezekiah's prayer. God's people faced dire circumstances. They were held under siege by King Sennacherib of the Assyrians. The enemy had already seized all the major fortified cities of Judah, and now they were putting heavy pressure on Jerusalem, the capital city. Each day, one of Sennacherib's generals stood outside the city walls, yelling insults toward Hezekiah and toward God and toward the people of God. When King Hezekiah heard what was going on, he tore his clothes, he covered himself with sackcloth as signs of both his grief and his humility and his repentance before God. Then Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord to pray, and his prayer is found in 2 Kings chapter 19. He began his prayer in verse 15 by praising God. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see." Listen to the word Sennacherib sent to insult the living God. Verse 17. "It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by men's hands. Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms on earth may know that you are the Lord our God." Well, in that prayer by Hezekiah, it's a beautiful picture he presents there, praising the Lord, and then speaking of his awesome power before he requests that God's aid be given them. Hezekiah sent for the prophet Isaiah, hoping that he would have a word from the Lord. And Isaiah did have word from the Lord. It says in Isaiah 37, verse 6, that we have Isaiah's word from the Lord, beginning with verse 6 of chapter 37. "And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor, and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." Well, God did send a rumor. God did send an angel of death, visited the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000 of Sennacherib's people died in one night. Sennacherib returned home defeated, where he was eventually murdered by one of his own sons. Hezekiah and the people of God won a great victory because they depended upon God. And we need to depend upon God today. Are you putting your trust in him? A very pleasant good afternoon.